Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. You're waking up with the sun right here, 91.5 KUNV. I'm Ray Brewer, sports editor of Las Vegas Sun, alongside Taylor Byrne, the beat writer. He covers UNLV basketball, and typically it's busy during the season, especially in March, but May, usually not so much, except for, I guess, the past 2 years. Big news on the home front. Reggie Smith last week decides to leave UNLV, but don't worry, save the R. Smith jersey. Roscoe Smith, a starter on Connecticut's national championship team 2 years ago, he signs late last week, and wow, UNLV making a national splash, Taylor. Everybody's fired up.
Yeah, when's the offseason? When does that happen?
Well, usually May's, I thought, was always kind of slow. That was kind of the slower month. The dead period, didn't it start Friday?
Last week.
You know, people are off doing Coaches for Cancer golf tournaments and throwing out first pitches, and UNLV's getting transfers.
Yeah, and it's just the Reggie Smith decision. The decision itself didn't surprise me so much as the timing. You know, the exit interview, everything seemed to go well. This was, you know, kind of, I think Dave called this like a big time for Reggie, like these months, the chance to put in the work to try and get to a starting spot. I love the look on your face anytime I talk about Reggie Smith.
But I'm never going to get to do it again. Before you talk about Reggie Smith, he was one of your favorite players, if not your favorite player.
No, you keep bringing that up. No, my favorites last year were Justin Hawkins and Carlos Lopez.
Okay,
I thought those were the guys. I thought Reggie Smith could have played a much bigger role than he ended up doing. And when he first came in, I said that I thought he would play a fairly significant role, and I still think he should have. I think the guards' legs, everybody was tired at the end of last year, and I think that was because Dave didn't use his bench enough.
A Reggie Smith apologist. Here's my deal. The guy played about 6 minutes a game, very careless when he had the ball. No doubt in his speed, his athleticism, the energy and excitement he brought to the court. Probably didn't quite figure out the offense enough.
That's the biggest thing. He really didn't pick up the offense. The learning curve just wasn't there, and so there was never any trust with Dave putting him out on the court. And so I think you could see that, you know, the playing time is – there was probably not going to be very much for him. Dave definitely wants to go with Caton a lot, or as much as the freshman is able to next year. And so it kind of works out where, you know, with his grandmother being ill, he has a chance to, you know, maybe play next year if he goes closer to home. It depends on how the NCAA judges the hardship that he'll, you know, put in for. But It wasn't going to work out. It was kind of amicable on both parts, both sides kind of moving on. And like you see, UNLV doesn't drop off at all, just picking up 6'8", Roscoe Smith, who I don't know if you know this. I actually realized that I knew of Roscoe a little bit before he became a UNLV Rebel. He is known for twice chucking like half court or full court shots with like a lot of time left on the clock
against Texas, and
it was against Texas. Then he did it again in the NCAA tournament, like a half quarter at the end of the first half.
It was on SportsCenter's not top 10, and it was the reigning champion for I think 12 weeks straight. Folks, you're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk on KUNV. You're waking up with the Las Vegas Sun every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. We're here. And then throughout the week, our other departments, politics, entertainment, business, they take a stab at delivering some news to you through the radio waves on KUNV. Today, we're talking UNLV hoop with Taylor Byrne, the Sun's UNLV basketball beat writer. And
let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
With Roscoe Smith, what do you think it says about the state of the program right now that whether or not he will even be eligible to play next year really doesn't matter? Because he probably is going to redshirt anyway. Like, what do you think it says when you bring in a guy of his caliber who has won a national title, and you're just like, yeah, we'll use him next year?
I think last year you could have made an argument that they probably had about, toward the end of the year, six or seven guys they really trusted.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the rotation, want the ball in the hands. Now you look to next year, and you're like, wow, minutes are going to be hard to come by. You know, Justin Hawkins is your senior on-the-ball key defender, and I could easily see where that guy might lose a minute or two in this whole thing. And maybe
I think you're foolish if you're giving Justin Hawkins fewer minutes.
Well, see, I just don't know where the there's several ways to break the equation. First of all, we think Bryce Jones is, if he's as good as advertised, and some people have said he's talent wise the best player since Isaiah Ryder. Now that's better than Marion, Tyrone Nesby, two guys that were in the league. Mm-hmm. He could play the two or the three, I guess.
Yeah, that.
Okay.
No argument. You know, I don't know about the talent comparisons there.
But like, whatever it says.
But yes, he can play.
Your initial question,
three.
What it says is UNLV's got some ponies in its stable, and they're going to be able to go out there and run and play and push the ball, and they're going to have a lot of talent on the floor. Now, the question of the day is, how is that talent going to mesh with each other? How are they going to bond as a team? And you can only play five guys at a time when arguably you probably have eight guys that could start, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably right around that number.
How are folks going to accept their roles? I'll give a perfect example. Manu Ginobili with the Spurs, arguably their best player on Saturday against Oklahoma City. He doesn't start. He's their sixth guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed. You struggled with it a little bit, but you got his last name out like accurately.
Yeah, as folks, just as a backdrop here, last names, especially of any Polynesian descent, absolutely awful. I apologize ahead of time.
Especially man, this early in the morning.
Yeah, this is for me. This is
a toned down Ray Brewer.
I'm very accurate right now. I feel good about myself. But you're right. Putting the pieces into place, and fortunately for them, they get the Canada trip to get a head start on that.
I don't think that it could have come at a better time as far as you're talking about this trip. Every team gets to do it. Every basketball team gets to do it once every 4 years. Dave said Canada kind of became, you know, his focus for where they wanted to go once Kem came into the fold. And then it doesn't hurt that, you know, you had Anthony Bennett on the radar, and now you'll have him being able to kind of go home. Kem is not eligible to play, but he can practice leading up to it, and then he'll just go home to be with his mom, and then he can like come and watch the games and hang out with the team and everything. So it's and it just moves everything up so much to basically the beginning of August is when you'll be able to see these guys. And considering the anticipation, the hype already around this team, and it's, you know, it's not even June yet, and then you're gonna, you know, get to move it up to early August. It's perfect. You know, everybody wants, you know, it's top 10, top 15 type of talent, and this is going to be the first time that you could get to see them on the court, see how they work, and I'm excited for it.
Quick confession for you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
As soon as they signed Roscoe late last week, I'm sitting in my head, like I'm sure several fans were, trying to figure out how the rotation's going to look next year and who the big guys are, and I forgot about Kem.
Yeah, it happened. He'll be eligible like December 17th, I think, is the first game that he'll be able to play on the road. His home debut will be against the Northern Iowa Panthers in a sure victory for the Rebels. Talent-wise, it is going to be a great disparity on that night.
Yeah,
but that's going to be the case a lot for UNLV this year. I think rarely are they going to step onto the court and have less talent than their opponents, which is going to mean when they falter – you know, a lot of that falls then on themselves. They'll have no one to blame.
Yeah. At North Carolina, probably they won't have as much talent.
That's a good point.
And other than that, I'm hard-pressed to find another night.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited to see – I think everybody's excited to see the San Diego State games this year because both of these teams are just supposed to be so good. Don't roll your eyes. What do you got against the Aztecs?
I have nothing – I like the rivalry that's developed between UNLV and San Diego State. I love that home environment they have. But what kind of rubbed me the wrong way is just how nasty those fans were during the tournament. I mean, there's cool – there's one thing to show up, be loud, be proud, chant, storm the court, all part of the college experience. I think it is awesome. I will support anybody that wants to do it, even when you could argue you shouldn't have stormed the court because you're better than that. But when you insult like an 83-year-old legendary coach,
and plus they didn't rush the court this year.
No,
they
I'm
lost.
I'm just talking in general.
Okay.
Fans. I think what got me the wrong way was when they openly insulted Jerry Tarkanian, and it was like no big deal. It was like congratulations on being awful people.
Yeah, and there's no defense for it. I don't get too riled up about it just because I don't take anything that they say or tweet like seriously at all. Like I think to give them any merit is just wrong, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean that I condone like things that they say by any means, but I just I don't listen to them so much.
Yeah. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, talking UNLV this Tuesday morning.